Good morning. It's lovely to see everyone's faces this morning. Our reading is on page 850, if anybody wanted to follow along in the red Bibles. And it's Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now David's going to come and share some of the riches out of this passage for us. Thank you.
We're in a series during the summer holidays looking at the extraordinary encounters with Jesus that we observe in the book of Luke. And on this first Sunday of the year, we're thinking, well, it's appropriate that we look at this leper who gave thanks to God for all the blessings he'd received. Let me pray with you and we'll look at it together. Your Father in heaven, for your grace and your goodness, we do give you thanks. We're gathered here, Lord. We're gathered as yours that belong to you and that praise you. So speak to us, O God, through this word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the end point of Jesus' life. And he is traveling, it says here, on the border between Galilee and Samaria. Galilee is his own hometown. It's where many of his miracles were done. Much of his ministry and teaching was done in Galilee. Galilee is the place where Nazareth is. But Samaria is also up north, and Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Samaritans were those that were kind of a mixed race from other nations mixed with Jews, and the way that they worshipped, the Jews thought that it was they were outcasts and dirty and low. In fact, you might say that there was a hatred of the Jews towards the Samaritans. So imagine this now: Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's now at the edge of a village. And he's just about to enter a village where the houses were starting to, encounter the houses. And a group of 10 lepers meet him. Do you know, if you're a leper, it means that you had a disease called leprosy, and it was a terrible disease. There are a whole range of conditions that had the name of leprosy, the worst of which parts of your body would actually rot and even parts of your body would fall off. And it was so terrible a disease that some would call them the living dead if you had leprosy. But whatever kind of leprosy you had, even of a milder type, it meant that you were considered an outcast. You were considered unclean. And that even if you had to dwell in a leper camp, you had to dwell away from everyone else. And even if you did go on the roads, you needed to call out, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that those people in the community could stay away from you. Even if someone contacted you, they were considered unclean. So everyone wanted to stay away from the lepers. And so it seems to me that these 10 lepers must have known that Jesus was coming, and they must have heard that this is a man that's got untold powers of healing that we've never encountered before. And they organized to intercept him on their way, on his way into the village. So I'm just imagining a conversation. This is just in my own brain. But I imagine a conversation. There they are in the leper camp. And one of them says, I heard that Jesus of Nazareth is on his way to Jerusalem and he's going to be coming through these parts. Maybe we should go and see him. Maybe he has got the power to help us. And another one might say, no, we wouldn't be allowed. The law says that we're not allowed out. And the crowds, they just want to stay away from us. And they want to just be far away. They want to forget that we exist. We're lepers. We're under God's curse. It's not worth going out to even see him. And it's shameful when people reject us and throw us out. They'll be angry at us. And one said, well, I'm a Samaritan. I'm at the bottom of the pile. He certainly won't be wanting to come near me or help me. I'm the last, I'm the lowest, I'm the least. But the first one maybe said, but it wouldn't hurt. Let's go. I've heard he's very merciful. I've heard he's very powerful. And so he persuaded them all, and they went out to meet him before he entered the village. And it says in verse 13, that they stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They didn't come too close. They just yelled at the top of their voices, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. In other translations, have mercy on us. Have a soft heart towards us. Break your heart towards us, Jesus. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Go show yourself to the priests. The priests in this situation performed a kind of health inspector role. They were like purity inspectors. And if you were cleansed from the disease of leprosy, then you go and show yourself to the priest. And the priest says, yep, you're clean. You can come in. You can rejoin the community. It would have taken some faith for these 10 lepers to head off and say, well, let's go. They're still full of leprosy. They're still full of disease. But they're on their way now. It would have taken some faith to even commence the journey to go and see. You must have felt pretty stupid heading off to the priest when you've still got everything stinky and yucky on you. But Jesus had said so. And at his word, they're trusting his word of command and they're obedient to his word. You know, there was an Old Testament character called Naaman. And Naaman too had leprosy. And Elisha too said to Naaman, go and wash, even before you're well. Go and wash in the River Jordan seven times. And so these lepers, here they are, they're exercising faith by doing what Jesus said. And it says that as they went, they were cleansed. It's like, words are hard to put into to a sentence to describe the joy and the amazement that they must have experienced. If they're anything like Naaman, it says with Naaman that his skin became like that of a young boy. And so here were these lepers. And as they went, they were cleansed. And their own body, so personal in a sense, because it's your own body and you're looking at your own body and that was which was filthy and unclean. You're thinking, this is astonishing that I'm well. And not only that the power has worked to make me well, but this means life for me. It means community. It means I can come back and enter the temple. I can worship God. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice, looking at his body. And he knew that there was only one person that is to be responsible for this. It's the one who told us to go. It's the one who told us to go and show. It's him. It's the one that we traveled to hear and see. And so it says that he came back praising God. The power of Jesus had worked in him. And this was a gift beyond all gifts. And he comes back praising God in a loud voice. You know, just think of that phrase, a loud voice. All that was in his heart. He wasn't sort of wanting to be kind of a little bit shy about his praise. It was like in a loud voice he's praising, and all that was in his heart, he was just letting out. He was just so thankful. Notice how thankful he was. He was so thankful that he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. It's like if you throw yourself at Jesus' feet, just imagine him lying here now, just in front of Jesus' feet. It's an act of great submission and an act of great honor. And it says that he thanked him. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's called gratitude. And then the bombshell. In verse 16, and he was a Samaritan. The one who might have least expected to receive the goodness and grace of God. The one considered outside God's mercy and blessing, the one that maybe others would say, well, his character would be the lowest character. But it's him that's come back to praise God. And then Jesus asks a question. I'm sure he was very joyful and thankful with this man. But he asks this solemn and serious question. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Jesus knew there was 10 that was cleansed. Where are the other 9? There's got one coming back. And he's a foreigner. And then Jesus speaks to the Samaritan and he says, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Get on your feet now, Samaritan. Your new life and your new cleanliness, go into your new life. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Or literally, your faith has saved you. Let's notice a few things about this story. Number one, notice how urgently we run to God when we're in need. We sail along through life and we've got no need and we may not give God a thought. But all of a sudden we've got a need. And we run. We run to God. You know, most people in this world don't cry out to God because they're very satisfied. No needs. But when something happens, crying out to God. You know why most people in this world don't cry out to God? It's because they don't sense that they've got any need. They're satisfied. Notice number two, that a deeper miracle happens when someone says thank you to God. You know, it says, the 9 said, it's like the 9 said to themselves that they're healed And they said, cool, this is pretty great. Let's get back to our family. Let's get back to our community. Let's get back to our life. And it's like that they became absorbed in their own blessing. And that's the thing that was their delight and their focus. But this man, the Samaritan, was different because he recognized the greatness of the blessing. He recognized the source of the blessing. He knew where it came from. And he runs back. He recognizes the love in the blessing, like it's a real deep love in the blessing. And he recognized how undeserving he was. And so he goes back and he throws himself at Jesus' feet and he says, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm like you and like the rest of the world, and we tend to take things for granted. You know, I just took a breath and so did you. But even every breath that we breathe in is a gift. Yes, it is. And when you don't have a breath, you know. Every breath brings life to you, and it's a gift. Our food, our health, our wealth, our family, we just wander through life, and we tend not to even think of giving thanks to God. We're inclined to go through life and ignore all the goodness that we've received, and we tend to just underappreciate all the blessings that we've received. How infrequently we turn back to God and run back. Do you know, I think of the Apostle Paul, and I just think of some of the prayers that he prays. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. And so he was a man marked by thankfulness. I think of King David in the Psalms. He was a man of praise, marked by praise. He was different. Or I think of Moses when he comes through the Red Sea and he sings a song. It's a praise and a thankfulness. And I think also at the end of the Bible, when the angels sing and they're saying, thank you, thank you. You know, all creation is to be marked by praise and thanks. You know, we can be grumblers like the Israelites. You know, they come out of slavery and they come into the wilderness and they grumble. And the Bible tells us, don't be grumblers. Don't be that grumbler, but instead have a life not of just of asking. Yes, the Lord so much encourages us all. Ask, ask, ask. He was glad that the lepers were there. Ask. But having asked, we need to turn back. You know, I know a guy, he was actually in this church and he was sick, really quite sick. And we prayed for him, and by his own testimony, he said, the Lord has healed me. But then he disappeared. And he disappeared from the church. And he disappeared from praising God. And it was like one of these lepers. Oh, yes, had received the blessing, but no praise. No honor. It seems to me that these 10 had their bodies healed, but the Samaritan somehow had his soul somehow healed. Because the Jesus says to him, rise, go, your faith has saved you, or your faith has healed you. He gets a word from Jesus that all the other 9 didn't receive. It's like his faith was displayed in him coming back, running back. On Christmas Eve, Sheldon asked everyone that was gathered here, would you write something on a card and say what you're thankful to God for? And so they did, and they lined up great line, and they put them, and they're all stuck on that red whiteboard out there. They're still there today for the last time. But I'll just read you some of the things that people said, and they were beautiful. Really quite wonderful. So here are some. Just these are just written off the cards. So what are you thankful for? Jesus, good health, community. The greatest gift of all, Emmanuel. Another one said, no condemnation. Another one said, forgiveness. Another one said, everything. Another one said, salvation. Another one said, he did a deep work. He did a holy work deep inside me. This man, the Samaritan, came back. And many of you here, I'm thankful that you are, many of you are those that give thanks to God, and I'm thankful. The last thing I want to say, that it's a rare thing to live a life of gratitude. But if you make it a pattern of your life, it brings a rich and holy blessing to your life. You know, it's a rare thing. Nine didn't bother. Nine didn't bother coming back. It was a rare thing. It's a rare. In Psalm 136, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. There is this thanks. There is this praise that should be ours and needs to be ours. It's right to give thanks to God because he is the source of all good things. And it's true to give thanks to God. And it's joyful to give thanks to God. And I want me and I want us as a church, I would love to be someone whose life is marked with thanks and praise. I want to be that person. You know, I don't want to be the person that's always grumbling and always this is wrong. I don't want to be that person. I want to be a person that is marked, and you do too. Because when I've got a friend, and he did a video, it's on YouTube, and he was struggling, he was feeling down, and he said, I'm going to intentionally start thanking God. He said, when I walk, when I swim, I'm going to intentionally thank God. And he said, I expected that it would give me a 5% bump in my level of joy. But he said, you know what? It gave me a 30 to 50% bump in my joy. And he said, and I started to praise God. I started to naturally praise God. Instead of always thinking of all of the envy and that person's got this and I haven't got that and I wish that they... And instead of that, there was a mark of praise in his life. Praise comes at a cost. Yes, it does. Because this man had to turn back. And I don't know how far he had to travel back. But he had to come back. And he made the journey. You know, it comes, even you being gathered here this morning comes at a cost. You've got to get ready. You've got to get the kids ready. There's a lot to do. But it's a rich reward to come back and to praise God and to honor him. It comes at a cost to be humble enough to throw yourself at Jesus' feet and say, thank you. The Samaritan could have said, well, I'm not going to give thanks to a Jewish man that they don't like Samaritans anyway. But he humbled himself and he praised God. There is a rich blessing and we get transformed when we make thankfulness, an intentional part of our life. We're actually going to say, I'm going to give thankful. And actually, as I've been preparing for this, there's been some things that haven't been so good for me. And in the midst of it, I've had to remember, actually, I'm going to give thanks to God right now. for this thing and this thing and this thing. And it was better for my heart, instead of being a complaining heart, to be a heart of thankfulness. So let's be like this Samaritan. He asked to God for a great blessing, which he received, but then he returned with loud shouts, and he richly received the blessing of Jesus. Jesus says, rise and go. Your faith has healed you. And we receive a rich blessing. So I'm just encouraging you. We're going to have communion now. And you know, this communion, it's a time for us to give thanks for the ultimate blessing. Honestly, what a rich blessing that all of us have received through God and through Christ. He broke into this world with the light and hope of blessing in Christ. So I'm going to give thanks, and then we're going to have communion together. Lord, with these others gathered here, we give you thanks with loud shouts of praise, because you're our God and you've met us in our need. We thank you for all that you've given to us, and supremely we give you thanks for what you've given to us in Christ, and that is eternal life, cleansing of our sins, a new life that comes from you, the gift of righteousness and the gift of your love. For all that, we are very, very, very thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.